My name is Juana Ballesteros, and I will be co-presenting today with Dr. Molly Martin. In a second, she'll introduce herself, and we are going to talk about our experiences working in One Chicago community and how we've been able to address some of the issues around asthma. And I, as well as Molly, do not have any personal financial relationships to disclose. So before we get into the actual experiences in the community, I think it's really imperative of us to provide some of the reasoning why we decided to prioritize and try to tackle asthma in this community, and Molly will speak a little bit about that.
And just as a point of clarification, when we submitted this abstract, it was still just an abstract. It's now a chapter in a book. So we just need to give credit to Dr. Whitman and others at the Sinai Urban Health Institute who helped us be a part of this production. If you want to see the book later, we can show it to you. So, and I'm a physician at Rush University, and I am also on the Asthma Task Force of the Greater Humboldt Park Committee of Wellness, which is what we're going to talk about today. So first, to put things into context, when you look at asthma nationally, you see that there are tremendous disparities in pediatric asthma in terms of race and ethnicity. The top row ever diagnosed with asthma is looking at prevalence, and the bottom low asthma attack is looking at morbidity, so how sick are kids. You can see that African-American children have a higher prevalence and morbidity, but the highest group of all is Puerto Rican children. And you don't see the Puerto Rican children unless you break open Hispanic. So they typically get smooshed in there with Mexican children. It looks like a low rate. Everyone says, oh, Hispanics are like whites. It's not a big deal in Hispanic communities, but asthma is actually a huge deal, especially in Puerto Rican communities. So we are working in a community area called Humboldt Park. On the left is the map of the Chicago community areas, and we're talking about community area number 23 in the top left there. This is the sort of historic Puerto Rican neighborhood of Chicago. It has the largest, it had, now we'll see what the 2010 census shows, largest Puerto Rican population in Chicago, and one of the third or fourth largest in the United States. So it's a very active neighborhood with a lot of political activism as well as social activism. And in the 2000 census, the population was about 48% African American and about 48% Latino. Of that 47% Latino, 37% were Puerto Rican. So the Sinai Urban Health Institute did a survey in 2002 of asthma in six neighborhoods in Chicago, two neighborhoods of which are part of Humboldt Park, basically. So we're capturing the Puerto Rican population. And when we look at asthma prevalence, then within Chicago, what we're seeing, the purplish boxes are looking at physician-diagnosed asthma. So that's being asked, has a doctor told you your child has asthma? And you can see the Puerto Rican children having the highest prevalence again, similar to national data of about 21%. They also asked in the survey, though, about some other questions, trying to really figure out if people probably have asthma, they just didn't say they did, right? So when you add the 13% on there, we see about 34% probable asthma within Puerto Rican children in Chicago. And that's one in three kids. That's huge. There are no reported rates this high, except on the island of Puerto Rico, where the prevalence rate is slightly higher at 40%. So these were shocking data that came about when they did and led then to what Juana is going to talk about next.
Like Molly had pointed out, a book has now recently been published, and I believe it's available here today at APHA, it is, from my understanding. I haven't seen it, but I was told it would be available for purchase. The Sinai Urban Health Institute is a large research institute in Chicago, and I can't stress enough, it's not a university-based research institution, it's a community level type of research institution, and they really look at research at the community ground level. They've done what is considered the largest door-to-door community health research in Chicagoland community. Molly previously showed some of the data of the six communities. And the wonderful thing about Sinai is that besides, you know, asking numbers of rates and diagnoses and things of that nature, they ask questions related to perceptions of health perceptions, which I think is really important is not always captured in a lot of the research that's done. And I think that really informs extremely well next steps and interventions in addressing different health issues of different communities and racial ethnic groups. And so basically the experience of Sinai and their research and all the action that has taken place as a result of their research is in this book, and Molly and I co-author, as well as others, a chapter on our presentation today. So how did the community unite around asthma as well as other health issues? You know, Sinai didn't just identify high asthma rates in Humboldt Park. They also identify obesity. Half of the children are either overweight or obese in Greater Humboldt Park. Diabetes among Puerto Ricans is 21%. About 40% of adults are depressed or show symptoms of depressive disorder. And the list goes on and on and on. And if you're not familiar with the research of the Sinai Urban Health Institute, I really recommend that you do visit their website. All of their research is on their website, suhi.org, I believe, S-U-H-I. So yes, the community united as a result of the data really energized and galvanized local leaders to do something to address the health issues identified by Sinai. The Puerto Rican Agenda, which is a longstanding ad hoc group, in Chicago, which is made up of community leaders, politicians, students, all coming together to address and develop and move forward on a Puerto Rican agenda for Chicago's Puerto Rican community. The New Communities Program out of LISC Chicago, Local Initiative Support Corporation, NCP was very graciously funded, still is, by the MacArthur Foundation, and basically identified six communities in Chicago, well-organized communities, communities with some history of community development, provided resources to help each community develop a community development strategic plan and then move forward on that plan. And there was an initial cycle of 5 years. We are now in the second cycle of another 5 years of support from MacArthur to do this. We're, I believe, in the third year. And at some point, I think MacArthur's going to cut the cord. But and so we're the result of that. And during that strategic planning process, folks also identified health. And the community wellness, of which is a health coalition that I am the executive director, came to be as a result of all of these forces coming together. So the health coalition is called the Greater Humboldt Park Community Wellness. The NCP plan in 2005 called for health to be an issue, to be prioritized in the plan. And the Puerto Rican Cultural Center, which offers a broad array of programming and services for the community of Greater Humboldt Park, also join, as well as the Sinai Urban Health Institute, Near Northwest Neighborhood Network, which is a longstanding community organizing organization, also came on board. And so the community wellness came to be. So again, we're a grassroots community-based health coalition serving what is Humboldt Park and West Town. And that's why we call ourselves Greater Humboldt Park, because we do focus on these two geographic community areas in Chicago. Currently, the coalition is made up of over 200 individuals representing a little over 60 different organizations, hospitals, clinics, universities, so on and so forth. And I can't stress enough, most of our members are not healthcare practitioners. They're not folks who are MDs or RNs. They're folks providing social services, after-school programming, just to name a few, job development folks as well, because we really take a holistic approach at improving health. We want to look at all of the different issues impacting health and try to take that lens at approaching health. And so we have 8 task forces, of which asthma is one of them, and the rest of them are all there. And the task forces really have the role of educating themselves on, you know, the current impact of the different health priorities, as well as educating the community on how to improve their health. It's to advocate for change. What I mean by that is more system change on the local level with local institutions, system change at schools, to name a few, housing as well. We're currently working in conversations with one of the local affordable housing developers on trying to create more asthma-friendly housing. They also coordinate their services and coming together, the task forces, it's just this immediate, better communication. Everyone's on the same page when they come together. And so therefore coordinate their services and reduce duplication. And to intervene. And intervene is basically collaborative projects that folks come together to plan, and ultimately when funding is secured, to implement those collaborative projects. So there's our organizational structure. And just to point out, we have a steering committee. There I am, and a coordinator. And so we really, in our organizational structure, only have two paid staff. And I can't stress enough, it's really our role to help bring all the stakeholders to the table, to really facilitate that partnership building process, to really shepherd the development of projects, because we're not experts. I know I'm not in asthma or diabetes. It's our different members. And again, we're just there to support the work that they do moving forward collaboratively. And so research. So the Sinai Urban Health Institute, when they came out with their data, that really caught the attention of a lot of outsiders, different universities in Chicago, wanting to work with Humboldt Park, not just because of the data, but also because we're a really diverse community, but also, you know, folks knew that Humboldt Park is a really well-organized community and really wanted to tap into that. And so we've had some very good experiences with researchers and not so good experiences, which I won't go into today. And so that really prompted us to develop this document, which is Values, Principles, and Protocols Guiding Research in the Greater Humboldt Park Community, and basically just follows all of the principles of CBPR. And interestingly enough, you know, we use this document when initially approached by a new researcher and saying, you know, this is what we abide by, and we're hoping you can too to move forward. And if you can, that's great. We'll keep talking. If not, good luck to you. So. And so a little bit about the asthma task force and about how it came to be. First convened in the summer of 2007, and Molly's been there since day one. Initial members were parents, representatives from local CBOs, Association House, one of the initial settlement houses of Chicago, has been serving in the community for over 110 years. Westtown Leadership United works with parents to provide them leadership skills. Respiratory Health Association, Metro Chicago, does a lot of advocacy, policy work around respiratory health for Illinois, as well as Molly representing Rush and the Sinai Urban Health Institute. And in coming together, the folks decided that they wanted to strengthen existing collaborations, initiate a process to develop new collaborations, and secure funding to reduce asthma in the community. The resulting projects. So there's several. So one of the initial projects with funding from Northwestern University and their CBPR program, now renamed ARC, Alliance for Research in Chicagoland Community, provides seed grants for CBPR partnerships between Northwestern faculty and communities. We secured some funding. Principal investigator was Ruchi Gupta from Northwestern and Children's Memorial, and myself. And what we did was develop a survey to get a better understanding of different social factors impacting asthma and asthma control. We looked a lot at mental and stressors, because there's a growing body of literature showing that stress, whether it's internalized individually or you know, community stress due to violence and other issues, really impacts good asthma control. So we asked questions related to that. Also, obviously, wanted to get a better picture of prevalence in three Chicago public schools in our area. And basically, what we found was that about 25% of parents who filled out the survey have children with asthma, smoking in about 25% of households, lots of high stress related to violence in children who have asthma. A lot of parents keep their children from playing outside because of the violence in the community, and about 66% of respondents felt unsafe in their community. And the results of these findings are published on a free online journal, and it's there. And so Molly's going to come in and talk a little bit about the partnership with Chicago Public Schools.
So one of the other projects that came out of the task force is the Chicago Public Schools got a big grant from the CDC, which was exciting because still, and at the time, the Chicago Public Schools says that their asthma prevalence rate is 3%, which is clearly not correct. So there are some efforts made to remedy that. One of the things that the CPS grant was designed to do was to get a better handle on what is prevalence within the schools. They also wanted to provide training for asthma educators within the schools, And again, the partners are going to be the same partners throughout, because what this task force allowed us to do is everyone got to work together on each other's projects. So even though the Chicago Public Schools and Northwestern or Children's Memorial Hospital were the primary investigators, the Community Wellness was a part of it, as was the Chicago Asthma Consortium. And they have done then a bunch of training within the schools. They've trained 250 school psychologists, a bunch of school nurses. They've done a lot of educating within the Humboldt Park neighborhood, because Humboldt Park was one of the areas that they were focusing on. So they've done a lot of specific training. They've developed flyers and posters about asthma, what to do for emergency plans, and those are in over 700 schools now. So they've been able to get their message out somewhat. One of the other things that they did is they got a small grant from the Sprague Institute, which is a local funder, to basically beef up their parental consent forms, because you can't get kids into the 504 IEP programs if you don't have the forms correct. So they worked to train some health assistants to get the paperwork up to par so that they could get the kids in the programs that they were supposed to be in. Another thing that happened is the Chicago Asthma Consortium partnered with the Committee of Wellness to do a town hall meeting, sort of like a large focus group. What the purpose of this was to understand from people in the community what were their experiences with healthcare, what were they interested in, what did they need help from, how did they navigate the insurance problems, how did they want to hear about information, and then this is serving as pilot data for their, the organization is trying to get greater funding then to figure out what is the best way to disseminate health information within this community. This is a project of mine. We call it Project CURA, the Community United to Challenge Asthma. This started with a meeting between me and a community leader in Humboldt Park, looking at the data from Sinai, that original table that I showed you with 1 out of 3, looking at the community resources available for asthma, which was none at the time, and saying, well, what are we going to do about this? And I said, well, I want to do some intervention stuff. I want to work on training people, community health workers. And the community leader said, well, that's great. We'll support you, but whatever you do must build community capacity for asthma management within this neighborhood. And so together we formed this project, which was initially pilot funded through Rush and then received subsequent funding from the NIH, and we have a bunch of partners, and these are not just paper partners, these are real partners. I can't hire anybody without everybody approving it. I can't do anything, I can't make any major changes on the project without the full group consensus, which is great, and everyone is a paid partner as well. So we're really having an interesting experiment with CBPR in Humboldt Park that's working very well. What we're looking at, we initially did a qualitative exploration of self-management, and now we're doing a behavioral randomized controlled trial, looking at Puerto Rican children in both elementary and high school, looking at a community health worker intervention, and we're looking to determine medication adherence and asthma triggers. We've trained 13 community health workers. We've brought in a speaker from San Juan to talk about asthma disparities in research on the island, and she came to the neighborhood and talked there. And we are involving people from the community in all aspects of the project. So what the purpose of this showing these projects is to show you how the Community of Wellness, as a sort of gatekeeper, was able to coordinate all of this research. So we're all working on each other's projects, maybe as leaders, maybe just as consultants, but I know what the Northwestern people are doing. They know what I'm doing. We're coordinating our data collection tools so that we can cross-reference, and we're using our experiences to benefit each other. And then the Community of Wellness is there to make sure that what we're doing is relevant to the community, is bringing resources into the community, and is respectful of the community. So it's really a neat kind of drawing together people who would oftentimes be competitive when you have all these academic institutions competing for a certain population within a neighborhood. It could be an ugly situation. And instead, we all get a lot of publications, we all get good data, and the community gets a good product, which is the ultimate importance.
So what we're doing, we're hoping, can be a model for others to learn from and hopefully replicate. But I think in order to determine that is you need to consider a few things. The community is definitely low income, medically unserved, and very racially and ethnically diverse. Again, we can't stress this enough. The community has a long history of organizing, a strong community leaders. And I think also because of the political capital that we have, that also helps in getting some of this work done as well. Folks in the neighborhood have a strong trust for organizations, so for longstanding organizations. And so really when we partner with researchers, when we go out to the community and get residents involved, they're definitely trustworthy of our decisions. And again, the high prevalence of morbidity of asthma, and the community is definitely well aware of this. Strong recommendations to move forward. If you want to use us as a model, you need a strong community base, just like Molly alluded to a second ago. Research should definitely focus on disease areas that are identified by the community as being high priority. Just a quick example, someone approached me, do you know the prevalence of lead in your community? I'm like, no, I don't. And she told me, and I said, wow, that's high. Why aren't you guys tackling this? There's a lot of things that are high, per data that might be considered high priority. It's just not one of those things. And so we didn't take it on. So definitely as researchers, you should definitely listen to the community and address those things that they find are priority. And community leaders and members should be involved in all stages of the research, as Molly had mentioned too. Important, don't come to community already funded by NIH or CDC. Work with community so they can definitely guide in the proposal development. And when funded, should be definitely a part of all the stages of the research and financially compensated appropriately. Acknowledgement, Northwestern University, NIH, Dr. Ruchi Gupta, Maureen Dammons from formerly with Respiratory Health Association, Liliana DeSantiago representing CPS, and Steve Samuelson from Chicago Asthma Consortium. That's it for us. Thank you.